Good afternoon. Thank you all for being here this afternoon. The announcement today sort of is twofold that we're going to talk about today. And the first one is that North Dakota is officially declaring a state of emergency in response to the coronavirus. But I want to make sure that everybody hears the word state of emergency. That might provoke a certain thing, an image in your mind, but we really want to say, because North Dakota is so well prepared, we'd like to actually declare a state of calm as opposed to a state of emergency, because North Dakota is so extremely well prepared and well positioned because of the great work that our teams have done, and also because of the geographic benefits of being one of the last areas to have an incident of confirmed coronavirus case. We, of course, yesterday reported that we had one positive case. Part of the other news we'd like to report at this conference is there was 10 more tests that were completed today at 3 p.m. through our State Department of Health laboratory, and all of those 10 were negative. And so we continue to only have one case positive case in the state that's been confirmed so far. As always, I want to start out with gratitude, and I want to thank again the leadership at the Department of Health, Superintendent Baszler, the Department of Public Instruction, our Adjutant General, General Dorman, who's here. They're all here with me. You'll hear from each of them. I also want to thank our tribal leaders. I see Mark Fox is here from MHA Nation. We've been working with them. We got a call with tribal leaders set up this afternoon. We've also been in contact with mayors and county officials from across the state. We had a statewide call yesterday with folks from long-term care associations and hospital associations. These calls have been going on statewide. So again, I want to thank everybody from the private sector leaders, business leaders, and everybody that's all contributing to this state of calm that we have going on. The other topic we want to talk about today is some guidance relative to K-12 and K-12 staying open. But let's just talk about the actual action of signing an emergency declaration for a state of emergency in North Dakota. By signing one of these by the powers that are invested in North Dakota Constitution, it gives the governor additional powers under the terms of an emergency. This may be the first time in the history of the state we've declared emergencies, of course, many times in our state for flooding, for droughts, and for other natural disasters. This may be the first one related to a statewide public health emergency. But some of the things it allows us to do under that emergency declaration include the ability to activate the National Guard. And of course, we've done this during times like instead of flooding is when they've probably been most visible. But the National Guard, the emergency services capability, could be helpful if we find ourselves in a more extreme outbreak. We also have an opportunity to waive certain regulations under a state of emergency, and some of these may be helpful when it comes to making sure that we can maintain proper workforce to deal with the emergency across the state, and it may allow us to activate other certain funds and resources. Earlier today at 2 o'clock, the President of the United States declared a national emergency declaration, and by us activating a North Dakota emergency declaration, this also puts us in a position to be able to receive and get access to those potentially the federal resources that may be coming our way. Part of that national announcement, that there was a lot of positives in there for a small state like ours in the heavily regulated medical field, because there was a major deregulatory components as part of that national emergency declaration that was made today. Some of those related to telehealth, some of those related to the critical access hospitals. We have 36 critical access hospitals in our state. Those would be the smaller hospitals, 25 beds or less. They're under a lot of federal restrictions about not only number of beds, number of patients, length of stay. We've also got a lot of challenging licensure requirements in our states. We've talked about that prior to the whole coronavirus issue, that if someone might be licensed to be a nurse in Minnesota, they can't work in North Dakota. It appears that the national emergency declaration will help remove some of those licensure barriers, which again, particularly in remote areas, tribal areas, places where we've had trouble getting healthcare workers, that may help the movement of healthcare professionals to where we need them as this unfolds. So a lot to like about the national emergency declaration in terms of the additional flexibility it gives to organizations here in North Dakota that are on the front lines. Also, as part of the that national announcement, there was a major announcement about private-public partnerships related to increased access to testing. And we know that that's been a constraint, and this really opens up and moves it out of a government-only solution to a government-plus private sector solution, and saw some very optimistic numbers in terms of the amount of potential tests that could be coming here. And the reason why additional testing is helpful and additional approaches to testing, including the movement towards being able to have people be tested in their cars. In South Korea, if you compare South Korea to Italy, South Korea completed, I think, almost 140,000 tests in a very short period of time. And with that, a couple things happened. One is they're able to do better contact tracing in terms of who has it, who doesn't. That's a positive thing, because then you can go and not just isolate a country, you can isolate individuals who've come into contact. That's positive. It also, when you get more numbers, this is a math game, when you get more people testing negative in your denominator, it does remove some of the fear related to this, because when you got more people in your denominator, you know, we may be finding out that this coronavirus is not as doesn't have as high a mortality rate as we once thought it did, because it turns out that perhaps in a majority of the people that you get more traditional flu-like symptoms. We continue to see evidence that this coronavirus is less, has a less lower mortality rate, meaning it's less lethal for infants, children, and young adults, and that's again a positive thing for all parents. But what it does mean is we do have to focus our resources on the state to protect those that are most vulnerable, and that's why again you're going to hear today that we're going to continue to amp up our efforts to make sure we're protecting elderly and people with chronic underlying diseases, in particular trying to make sure that we're doing all the appropriate measures to protect those that are in our 80 skilled nursing homes across our state, and really working to make sure that we can keep the virus out of those facilities and out of assisted living and long-term care facilities. From a K-12 standpoint, I'm going to turn it over here in a minute to Superintendent Baszler, but I want to again, we're going to make some announcements here that right now we're planning on keeping K-12 open in North Dakota. This may come across as contrary to what the wave in the last 24 hours of closures that you may have seen in other states, but we're making decision, as we said, based on facts, not on fear. And we've been focusing since January about preparing, not panicking. And so our situation is different in North Dakota. We have one reported case. What that means is there is not one single hospitalization in any of the hospitals in North Dakota today for the coronavirus, not one. And we also know that because this does not have the effect it does on younger populations, then we have to start thinking about it for a population like school age. We have to think about this like it's flu season. And we have to think about what would the things that we would do to make sure that we protect our children and protect our communities during flu season. And we should take the appropriate common sense approaches like we would for that, and not find ourselves in a position of overreacting, because if you do end up closing K-12, not everybody's got childcare. Those kids, parents are working, they may end up staying with their grandparents. That's not a good thing. We have a lot of kids that attend, you know, our 120,000 K-12 students in North Dakota. A lot of them are receiving important nutrition as part of their attending K-12. Special needs, we've got an obligation to provide, you know, schooling for special needs children. So it is not a simple equation to think about shutting down K-12 statewide, and it actually isn't even appropriate right now based on the CDC guidelines. guidelines, which Superintendent Basler is going to cover. So we have to be more specific on a case-by-case basis. We will be proactive about closing schools if we find that there are cases either in the schools or in the communities that the schools are in. And in the absence of that, and not just cases, but cases driven by community spread as opposed to travel contact. The one case that we do have in Ward County was an individual who was traveling. We actually know who they got it from because of that contact case. That person is recovering at home. And so we have no evidence today of community spread in our state. So again, North Dakota, we're taking a pragmatic, proactive, positive step, and again, acting out of facts, not out of fear, and making sure that we don't create a set of unintended consequences by doing, mass closing statewide. They're unwarranted relative to the current situation. So with that.